Blog Talk Radio.
One King, aka D King, aka Mr. Blood Certified, and we will be invading your speakers live every Monday at 8 p.m. with music and interviews from some of the hottest urban Christian artists of today, here on the Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Stay tuned. Yo, yo, what's up, guys? You are tuned into the Revive Radio Show, and I am your host, Daquan King, a.k.a. D King. And tonight, man, we're going to go in, man. We're going to talk about some things that's just going on in our nation. But before we get into any of that, you know, we got to do what we always do about this time and lift up a holy God who is truly due all praises, honor, glory. You know, he is sovereign. He is king. And so, Let's pray. Heavenly God, we magnify your holy name. We honor you. We acknowledge you. We acknowledge your very presence. We acknowledge that you are real and that without you, we would not be. God, we thank you so much for everything that you've done for us, everything that you've already done, God. It's not that you're waiting to make something happen for us. It's not that you're going to open the door a door for us tomorrow or cause something, a blessing to happen or protect us from something tomorrow, God. We believe and we know that you exist outside of time and that our steps have already been ordered and that you have already made a way. Your son has already died for every sin and that you have already protected us, God, and that favor goes before us, God. And so we just honor you, God. We thank you for everything that you've already done. We acknowledge, God, that without you, we would not be. God, we lift up your holy, mighty, and matchless name, your name that is above all names, your name that is above sickness and disease, your name that is above racism, your name that is above hatred, your name that's above love, your name that's above all things, Father. So we just lift up your mighty, matchless name on tonight, God, and we ask, God, that you just have your way, speak to us, through us, be glorified. Tonight, we're going to touch some touchy subjects, some things that may be hard and difficult to talk about, but you are still God, and I believe, God, that you're going to speak through me and through the people who may come on the show tonight and may have something to say. God, I pray, Father, for just a show of healing, that we're able to talk about some things and bring some things to light and just do our part, whatever part that may be. God, I pray that you're just glorified through it and by us, God. So we just magnify your holy name and we exalt you because you are real, you are God, and you are truly deserving of all praise. Guys, next, after we lift up God, you know, because it's my show, I get to do this, and I'm just happy that I do get to do it. My wife just had a birthday, as a matter of fact, this past Saturday. We went out of town and spent some time together at this place called Elizabeth Point Lodge, and it was really nice, man. It was good to just get away for a little bit, and just spend some quality time together, and just for me to just let her know and show her how much I love her and appreciate her as the wonderful woman of God that she is and wife that she is and how much she adds to my life. And I you know, I'd be a lie If I said that she hasn't upgraded me or that she hasn't made me a better man, because she has. And I am just blessed to be able to experience another year with her, to have this wonderful woman in my life. And I'm thankful that, you know, she's just the woman that she is. So I want to give a shout out to Nana. Baby girl, you are amazing. You really are. And I'm just so grateful to be your husband. I pray God's blessing over you, everything that he has in store for you. I pray that you just get to experience the good of the land. I mean, all of it. So, baby girl, I love you. Thank you so much for being the woman you are. Hey, guys, so tonight, you know, I really want to get into this this big racial divide that we have in our nation right now. The issue, there's so many just different things that are happening. People who are dying left and right. And, you know, I want to say this now just to get it out of the way. By no means me talking about what's going on with the race relations in our nation, how God fits into this Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter. By no way me just addressing this am I saying that terrorism isn't important, or poverty isn't important, or the gay rights issue or isn't important, or just all there are so many different topics and things we could talk about and discuss. And I normally would not pull away from my normal program. Like, I had my boy T. Bailey slated to be on the show tonight, and you know, me and him have been friends for years, man, for years. And he was supposed to be on the show tonight, but I felt moved to do this show, so much so that I canceled the interview with him to do this show. And I want you guys, if you can, please pray for my brother, because he's about to head off to Kuwait and be gone for probably a year. So I got to find out how long he's going to be gone. But, you know, my man has some kids, and, you know, I'm going to be praying for his wife and his children or whatever. But just while he's over there in Kuwait, just be praying that God bring him back safely. The man is a dynamic artist. I will be playing his music throughout the year as well. But, you know, I felt just this pulling, this tugging for me to say something and to address these issues, and also have some other brothers come on the show tonight and address these issues as well. And normally I wouldn't do this. I don't normally try. I try just to stay away from these topics because there's just so many opinions, and everybody has an opinion. And there really are enough people out there who have a voice, who are saying some good, powerful things. And that doesn't mean I shouldn't be saying something that's good and powerful, but, you know, sometimes we don't always have to be a part of the conversation. Sometimes we can just support the conversation, you know. We have a lot of pastors out there, and everybody wants to be a pastor, but not everybody can be a pastor. Some people just really need to be an assistant pastor or associate pastor or a youth pastor, you know what I mean? Like, you don't necessarily have to run a church. That may not be your gifting, and I don't think that that carrying a conversation on a daily basis or doing more than one or two shows about this a year is my gifting. You know, I can say what I feel. I can say what God has given me, and I'm going to express my emotions, my fears, my doubts, all these things on this show tonight. But I don't feel the pulling or the need to get into this or dive deep into this conversation on a daily basis. One, because it is very dear to me. One, because I do get a bit frustrated by everything that's going on. And sadly, I've had this conversation with people, and I get labeled as the angry Black man. And I hate that, because just because I have a passion for what's right and for what's wrong when it comes to the race that I identify with. That doesn't make me an angry Black man. I believe that it just makes me passionate. And it means that when I see this injustice going on, not that there aren't other injustices, this is one that's personal to me that I've had issues with in the past, in terms of with policing, stereotypes, being racially profiled, that, you know, I can't speak on this subject truthfully, honestly. And it actually come from a place of experience, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to be doing this all the time. And so please don't expect that. You know, normally on the show, we really do get into things about artists, music, life. And I go more into the word. I like talking to God, man. I love talking about the Bible. So, you know, we're going to put that into the show tonight as well. But I do have some people that's going to come on the show tonight, and, you know, we're going to get their perspective, their point of view on some things. We're going to ask some questions. We're going to hopefully get some answers and hopefully talk about some healing. So as I brought up the word healing tonight, man, we got a special playlist for you guys tonight, man. I'm gonna y'all might like this, man. It's my homeboy, you know, my man that got me started into music, man. That just I wanted to be him when I was a kid. When I was a jit, like in elementary, I did him in a play, and the song was Man in the Mirror. And I'm gonna play that for y'all tonight, but I'm not gonna play it right now. But I just, man, Michael Jackson was the dude, you know, and Here's a guy that exemplified, you know, loving people regardless of their race, their color. You know, he may have had some of his confusions. He wasn't a perfect guy, but it's not really about that. Music, one thing I love about music is it transcends so much. So, you know, we're gonna listen to the song "Heal the World," and when we get back, come back. We're going to get into the show tonight, and I'm really looking forward to it. So, guys, stick around. Stick with me. This is your boy, D. King, on the Revive Radio Show, man. God bless.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And a place much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, find there's no need to cry. In a place you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world, make it a better place.
To the show for any time now, you know, man, when I come out that out of that song, I like to kind of sing along, but, you know, that was Michael Jackson, so I ain't gonna do it to him. You know, I don't want to make Michael Jackson sound bad. You know what I mean? You know I can sing. Everybody else know I can sing. You know, radio world, y'all know I can sing. You know, I don't think I need to stretch my vocal abilities and skills at this moment in time, especially with everything that's going on, you know what I'm saying, and blow Michael Jackson out of the water. So I'm not going to sing right now, but normally I would. So if you catch me next week, You're gonna hear something. It's gonna bless your life. Your life, man. Your entire life. Hey, so all right, so let's get into this thing going tonight, man. I'm really looking forward to just to this discussion on our nation, what's going on, man. I've already threw my disclaimer out there, and I don't think I'm gonna do it again. If you didn't catch it, you know, just listen to the whole show. You could download it as a podcast. But you know that I'm concerned about all lives, not just Black lives. But the Black Lives movement. And I actually put this in a post today. I'm actually going to read it to you. It says the Black Lives movement isn't any less important just because all lives matter. Black Lives Matter is a response to systematic oppression that's based on facts. All Lives Matter is a response to Black Lives Matter. And I want to address that because, you know, people will take something and they'll run with it without having, without getting, you know, in the post text, you know what I mean? They just run with the pretext, and that doesn't make it right. Yes, all lives matter. We're not denying that. It would be stupid to say that no, all lives don't matter. That's not a topic. That's not even up for discussion. The point of saying Black Lives Matter is because for a long time, and I would even say since the history of Black people in America, we have felt like Black lives don't matter, based off of the treatment from slavery on to Jim Crow, on to when they finally gave us our freedom, or we finally took our freedom, or however you want to call it. Once we finally got our freedom, then, you know, folks would get arrested for the wrong thing or for nothing at all and be in jail for the rest of their lives, and they're still being treated like slaves. I mean, you know, Black Americans didn't get their freedom on July 4th. You know, we didn't get to celebrate that. You know, our freedom didn't come until years later. You know, even after it was given to us by Abraham Lincoln, it still took two more years before all Black slaves were free. You know, so when Black people are saying, okay, you know, okay, that's slavery. You know, this is 2016. We got President Barack Obama. He's a Black man. So apparently everything is okay. To me, that's just hogwash. Like, so what that we have a Black president? You know, we have a Black president who has never been given an actual opportunity to do his job without dealing with racism at the highest level, and just a injustice at the level of the office of the president. You know, and whether or not you agree with his policies or with what his decisions he's made, pro-life, all that, whether you agree with the LGBT movement and his approval on that or disapproval, regardless of whether you believe that, you agree with him on that or not, the truth of the matter is that the man just hasn't had the same opportunity that his counterparts have had to do his job without without just the pressure of being a Black man in that office. And I don't want to make this show about race tonight. Well, forgive me, it is about race tonight. What I'm saying is I don't want to make this show about, okay, Black is not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair. But I do want to get it out there that my opinion and how I feel about it, regardless of whether you agree with me or not, you know, and this has nothing to do with whether or not I'm racist, because I'm not racist. By no means am I racist, but if I acknowledge that there is an issue within the Black community if there's an issue within the way that Black people are being treated and profiled and unfairly stopped, searched, and frisked, if I acknowledge that, that doesn't make me racist. That just means that I'm aware. And I think we have to have a discussion on that, where someone being aware of something doesn't necessarily mean that they're against another thing. So if I'm aware of Black Lives Matter and I'm pro Black Lives Matter, that does not mean that I am not for Blue Lives Matter. Like I want cops to be shot. Like that's the craziest thing. My heart goes out to every single cop who has lost their life in the line of duty, regardless of whether or not it was by the hands of a Black man or by the hands of a white man. Injustice is injustice. And if they're there to patrol us and to protect us, and they're being shot down, beat up, or whatever, by just because they're doing their job, I have an issue with that. And to make it personal, when I do my job at my, I go into work on a day-to-day basis, 9 to 5, and my job isn't easy by no means. It's not fun by no means. And I just could not imagine going to work and automatically people hating me just because of where I work and what I do. People treating me wrong just because this is where I work and this is my profession. It would irk me to no end. The mere fact that when I put on my uniform to go to work, or my uniform is a shirt and tie, but when I put on my shirt and tie to go to work and people see me, you know, they automatically draw a conclusion whether or not I'm a good person or I'm a bad person based on the colors that I wear or the outfit that I have on. But to be honest with you, that's exactly what happens as a Black man on a day-to-day basis. I deal with that on a day-to-day basis as a Black man. I deal with being perceived to be a certain way and being perceived to be a certain type of person, regardless of whether or not I have a tie on or not, or a smile, or I'm overly nice. And sometimes I'm overly nice just because I perceive that someone has an issue with my skin tone. And I have to overcome their issue with me by the way I talk to them. And some of y'all may be saying, oh, no, listen, Israel, I deal with it daily. I can tell you in the last 10 years, I can count on one hand how many Black men I've worked with that's been in my profession for the last 10 years. One hand. I don't have enough hands, toes, or feet to count how many white people I've worked with. And so it's not that I think that these white people are bad. I don't have an issue with white people at all. None whatsoever. But anytime there is differences, there's going to be a difference of opinion. There's a difference of color, there's going to be a difference of opinion, a difference of experiences. Your experience does not match up with my experience. And so therefore, I can't tell you how you should view something based on my experience. So look, guys, I'm kind of rambling on, and I have like all type of topics and things I want to talk about tonight. God help me, please, to not just be me on tonight. I really want to just get into the show. So look, we're gonna bring on my homeboy Norris, aka J Fox, and he's called in tonight, and he's gonna just work with me on the show, man. So y'all please welcome my partner Norris. Hey Norris, man, you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. D King, how you doing, bro?
I'm all right, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, brother. I'm doing good.
Hey, flesh, thank you, man, for listening to me ramble, man. I apologize for that. Hey, people out there listening to the show, I apologize for rambling on, but I had to get that off my chest. So, you know, that's just something I had to share. I don't even think I really didn't get it all off my chest, but I said enough. So we got my man Norris on the show, man. Hey, for y'all who don't know, man, this is J Fox, man. We had him on the show a couple weeks back. He is an artist. Please go in and click on the Revive link and check out the show and listen to his interview. It was a really good interview, very powerful. He's an awesome man of God, family man. And, you know, man, I want to get your take on everything that's going on. I'm going to tell you what happened. Before I get your take, I'm just going to tell you where all this came from for me. I came home one day. It was after the guy had got shot in New Orleans, right? The next day, you know, the other guy got shot in Michigan, man. And I hadn't seen it. I didn't want to watch it. I really didn't. Like, because I was already just up to my elbows in just frustration. And so I'm sitting on my couch, you know what I'm saying, about to go have dinner with my mom for her birthday. And I turn on the television and, you know, it's on CNN. And I watched the entire thing where the girl narrated her fiance's death. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't do nothing but cry, bro. Like, I just cried. I just cried. Like, I cried. It hurt me to my core. And I normally text my wife when I'm leaving the house or when I'm going somewhere. I text her where I'm at. You know, I never text her ever before have I texted her, hey, babe, I'm here, because I want her to know where I'm at. And I'm concerned that if something happens to me, I need her to know where I'm at. And that was the first time I've ever experienced having to do that. And just the fear and the emotion that came upon me to have to do that, thinking like, man, if something happens, I need my wife to know what's going on. You know, and my wife is hitting me up, you know, hey, babe, you know, be safe. You know, make sure you turn your blinker on, you know, before you turn somewhere. You know, stuff like that. You don't have to have those conversations in certain neighborhoods and certain households. But in our household, in our neighborhoods, we have to sit down and we have to tell our children, you know, and wives have to tell their husbands, hey, babe, you know, smile if you get stopped by a cop. You know, stuff like that.
Wow. That's deep, man.
It's conversations that we have to have that some people will never experience. You'll never experience it. And that doesn't make you racist. It just means you're aware.
That's right.
So I'm sorry, man. Go ahead, bro.
I'm liking to hear you vent, man, ever since you've been venting, bro. I enjoy it. Because you're getting it off your chest. I really can't begin on this stuff, man. I mean, I had stopped watching. I stopped watching. Uh-huh. After the first shooting in Louisiana, I heard about the second one. I saw the video you talking about. And after that, I just stopped watching, man. I told my wife, look, I'm going to stop watching TV. I'm going to stop listening to radio, talk radio.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go because I had to keep my mind on the positive things. And I don't know, man. For me, I think, like, this stuff been happening way back, man, when Martin Luther King was marching. You know what I mean? And marches, you know what I mean? It's been around ever since Cain slew Abel, man. It's like violence, the killings, all that has been happening. So, I prayed, and I've been doing my research. I've been reading in Revelation because, you know, Revelation is where we at pretty much right now.
Yeah,
and I've been studying Revelation 6, bro. I mean, you know, these things must happen. You know, all these things got to take place before Jesus come back. And, you know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, man, that's a great point to make, because we have a lot of pastors and preachers who are and even my pastor, and I don't knock him at all, man. I love my pastor. I'm pro Spirit of Alive Church, man. I'm pro my pastor, man. And you know, I can't say I would fight somebody, but I would fight somebody over this man. You know what I'm saying? Like he's Amen. Helped me through so much, you know what I mean? And I consider him to be a father figure, even though he's only 2 years older than me, you know, that's dad, you know what I mean? There are a lot of pastors out there, a lot of preachers out there who are you know, preaching, you know, we must become united, and we have to be united. We have to unite. We have to begin to work to heal the divide. But I don't think that we could ever truly heal the divide because of what you just said. The Bible tells us about the things that must happen in the end before Jesus comes back. And if there are wars and rumors of wars, if there are going to be wars, there cannot be everybody loving each other and wars at the same time. So these things must happen. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to happen. The question is, what do we do when we're confronted with it? How do we protect our children? How do we make them aware of the nation that they're now living in? We can't tell them that they can trust every police officer because they can't. They can't trust every teacher because you can't. There are teachers out there who are preying on students. You can't trust every doctor. There are doctors out there who don't treat black people the same way they treat white people. You can't trust everybody. Now, you can have the desire to trust them. You can put on the rose-colored glasses if you want to, but that doesn't make the reality of the situation change just because you choose to look at it differently.
That's right. That's right, man. You're right. And I look at that, what you just said, I thought about that same question, that question you just asked. I said, well, my mom and my dad was raising us. You know what I mean? They taught us right. But we still went out, and we did what we wanted to do. We had to learn for ourselves. But they made sure they brought us up in the Word. They made sure we went to church, man. As long as you was living under that roof, you had to go to church. You had to learn the Word. You had to read your Bible. You know what I mean? Because in the Bible it said, if you teach a child the right way, man, and I ain't saying it from the biblical standpoint, but the child might depart, but he's going to come back. He's going to come back home just like the prodigal son. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, as long as you do your job and teach with the children, we just have to teach them because we can't guard them for everything. It's going to be some time they ain't going to be with us. But
that's
just
true.
Gonna have to learn mom and daddy talk. And so
you have to put the fear of God in them. First of all, you have to teach your children to respect authority. That's big. That's very important. You know, because we have a lot of kids who don't respect authority nowadays, and so that's agitating the other side, and that kind of makes it okay, and that kind of helps a point of the wrong point. It kind of helps them if our people are doing what's expected of them based off of a negative expectation. You know what I mean? It's vitally important that we're raising our children to be respectful, regardless of what color or whether or not. Like my mom, there was a teacher in, third or fourth? I think it was fourth grade. No, it was my fifth grade teacher. My mom could not stand this woman. I think she was evil. I really do. And I couldn't stand it either. But I was bad. I was bad in elementary. And so my mom couldn't stand her. Just because she didn't like the woman, she never spoke any ill of her. She always made me respect that woman. She always made me treat her with respect, even though I didn't always do it. And so she would call me to the carpet. Even though she felt like the lady was wrong, she still made me do right, even though she felt like the lady was doing wrong. So she made me she wanted me to be the bigger person, even though I was a child. And she held me to that standard. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And she held me to that standard. And so that helped me to be the man I am. She didn't go to the schoolhouse and be like, and start, you know, cursing the lady out and fighting the lady. Nah, she handled her house. And so we need that. We need that in our communities. We can't have parents who are supporting their children without understanding that there's a life outside of this grade. There's a life outside of this situation. And if at this time, the only time if you're only concerned with whether or not your child is right or wrong in this circumstance, what you're doing is you're building the wrong mindset for your child. It's not about your child being right or wrong. It's about your child having respect, honor, and admiration. You know what I'm saying? Not admiration, but honor and respect.
You team when you get to church, man, make sure you let me know because I'm coming. And I'm going to tell you, man, it starts in the household because I'm going to tell you something, man. Like, most of these guys, and I'm not justifying the fact that these cops are shooting these people because they shouldn't be, but most of these guys are dying, man, are in these streets. A lot of them
are semi-thugged,
man. You understand? Like, if me and you get stopped on the road, we got much respect that they'll give us a ticket and we can ride out. It ain't going to come down to the gunplay. You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, it is kind of our fault. And parents need to be there for their kids. A lot of parents ain't been there for their children and teaching them the right way, man. A lot of parents are clubbing and their kids growing up.
That's the whole point. That's my issue right there. And you're absolutely correct. But it's correct and it should not be. It shouldn't be that because a child or a person is perceived to be a certain way, or regardless of whether or not they have respect for the cop or they don't have the respect for the cop, their life should not hang in the balance of whether or not they respect the person that has the badge and the gun. And that's the issue. If my life hangs in the balance of whether or not I'm having a good day or a bad day, that's a problem. That's scary. That's very scary, bro. Because I have a little brother who doesn't look like me, who has dreads, a tattoo on his neck, and all on his arms. If he gets pulled over by the cops, I fear for his life.
Mm-hmm.
I fear for his life, and I know he knows how to honor and respect people because he was raised in the same
household. It's a stereotype thing. Yeah, it's a whole stereotype issue.
So like the man who was shot and killed in Michigan, who never had a record at all, never been arrested, had a actual permit for his gun that he had, was reaching for his wallet, and gets shot. No gun in his hand or anything. He didn't have a gun that he was pointing to the police officer, but he had dreads. You know what I'm saying? So that's what scares me. It scares me.
It is scary.
Bro. And
it's
so
scary. It's scary,
it's
bro.
That's and so that's a hard pill to swallow, man. It really is a hard pill to swallow. And it doesn't mean that. Go ahead.
Well, if you want to, I mean, you know, just the you know, the whole thing is, bro, evil exists. I mean, we're not fighting amongst flesh and blood. We're fighting amongst evil principalities and high places. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we it's the evil. We ain't fighting against cops. We ain't fighting against the white people. We ain't fighting against black. We're fighting against the evilness, man. Satan is doing this. I mean, Satan is roaming around like a lion seeking who he may devour. And if you're not spiritually bound, grounded, man, if you're not planted like that tree by the river, man, you're going to be moved. Satan can move you and get in your mind, you know, unstable mind is Satan's playground. You know, that's what my grandma used to tell me. You know what I'm saying? You have to continue to read, continue to build yourself up with scripture. And, man, you got to walk by it. But, you know what I'm saying? It's going to be evil out there. Jesus, God ain't never sent Jesus to bring peace in the world. But he sent Jesus so we may have peace within. We may be saved. You know what I'm saying? So everything is scripture to me, man. I mean, a lot of people don't like to talk to me because they're like, you always come up with scripture, but man,
the
Bible is living, man. It's a living word. And it's happening. A lot of people ain't looking at that because you know, people walking by sight and not by faith. You walk by the Bible, you will understand these things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Bro.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to be so spiritual that I'm earthly, no. But at the same time, it's a spiritual thing that's happening, man. We got to fight this thing. We can't fight with marches. We can't fight with words. We have to fight with prayer, man, fasting. And this is a spiritual fight. It's spiritual warfare. This is what's happening, man. Cause like and that goes back to Revelation 6. You understand? So
I agree with you, man.
I'm looking at this whole situation, bro. I mean, they've been killing each other before we was born. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, people are finally seeing it themselves and they're getting scared and shocked. And you're right, it is scary, man, because it is racial profiling, man. You got dreads, you got tattoos. They're going to look at you as a thug criminal. You know what I mean? So,
bro,
I don't know,
listen,
bro. I'm just praying, man.
I agree with you, but here's why. And I do agree with you 100% on the Christian end.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand that not everybody is saved. Not everybody knows God. And that doesn't make their right and their wrong any less more important than my right and my wrong. So here it is. We have a lot of people who are making that same argument and they get upset, you know, who are making that same argument. Like I have a friend of mine who's Caucasian, and he made pretty much that same argument, basically, that, you know, it's a sin issue. It's not necessarily, you know, right or wrong or racism. You know, racism, the root of racism is sin. And so, you know, they put Jesus on the cross and his life mattered. You know what I mean? And so it's a sin issue, and we got to and I agree. It is a sin issue, no doubt. But for those who aren't saved and those who don't know God the way we do, how do I tell them? I can't go and roll up on them and be like, man, that's a sin issue. Don't worry about it. For them, it's racism. For them, it's injustice. Bro, when I was 12 years old, I got arrested for riding my bike because the cop thought I had stole the bike. So he put me in handcuffs. I didn't get arrested. Like, I didn't go to jail. But he put me in handcuffs at 12 and put me in the back of a cop car. And I stayed there for like 10, 15 minutes while he's calling in because the bike looked like somebody else's bike.
Mm.
At 12, I got handcuffs on me. At 12. Bro, how old are your kids? Could you imagine? At 12? If that's, you know what I'm saying?
Jeez.
That's scary. At 12? You know what I'm saying? And I was too young to even understand what was happening. I got more and more frustrated by that situation as I got older.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But so let's say, okay, well, all right, if it's just a sin issue, let's take this, and I'm not countering you. I'm countering this argument because a lot of people are making that same statement without understanding that everybody is not all about, not everybody's saved. Not everybody's a Christian. And so for those who aren't saved and those who aren't Christian, their pain is just as severe, it's just as real, and it's just as important as my pain as a Christian man. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make it any less more important just because I have a biblical understanding of the issue and they don't.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
So
if
it was, let's say it was a doctor's office, a doctor's, instead of it being police, say it was hospitals, and disproportionate. You know, every time you know, a person of color went to the hospital, they were either, you know, they ended up spending more time, they ended up spending more money. They there are more people who are dying, black people who black and colored people who are black, brown, yellow, whatever you want to call them, people who are dying in the hospitals. Then there were white people. You know what I mean? Like, white people go in and they come out and with the cold. They go in with the cold and come out with the cold. Black person go in the cold and come out with the flu. You know what I mean? Like, what if this was the same? Would we then, you know what I'm saying? Would we then say, okay, this is an issue with the hospitals and we need to change the doctors? Like, say if that was with everybody. Say if it wasn't just black people. Say if it was everybody. What we want to change the whole system and say, all right, well, you know what? We need to change the system, or do we fire just the specific doctors?
You know what? Hey, bro, that's a good question. I hate to say it, but there's nothing we can do. I mean, what's going to happen, I believe, is going to happen. But what we need to do as each individual man, whether you say it or not, you have to use your mind. I mean, but before times, man, like, we need to start planting, man. We need to start planting our own crops. And it's a money issue. We need to start planting. We need to start building our, you know what I mean? We need to start building our own empires, man. Like, we're kings, man. And, it's just some places you can't be, some places you can't go. Some things you just got to do like they did it way back then. I mean, the Bible tell you all that. And I know, like you said, some people ain't saved, some people don't know Christ. But it's time for us to wake up. When everybody keeps saying wake up, you know what I mean? That's what I see. Wake up meaning manage your money better. Stop following all these rap artists and the secular music, because you want a diamonds, you want a Benz, you want a stunt, you want to, you know, talk to girl. All that is, I mean, that stereotype, that helps you that help a person be under the stereotype light. You know what I'm saying? When the cops see you and you got all this and you doing this, man, he already going to begin the stereotype. I mean, come on, man. It's obvious. Okay, this guy ain't doing anything. He's out here selling drugs. I mean, you would think that if you saw somebody coming through in a vert and they got gold chain, gold teeth, all that. You're going to think that about that person. I mean, it ain't just white people going to think that. Me and you going to think that. But, like, you know, I mean, you already know how it is. You got a family, bro. You know what it is to work in your yard, you know, come home every night, you know, be in the house, don't be running the streets. See, men got to grow up. Us as black men, we have to grow up. Now, that guy that got shot in Louisiana, he was out there selling CDs trying to make a living. That's what he do. I don't agree with that, bro. It's a lot of things we don't agree with, and it's going to happen. Everything ain't going to go right for us. You know what I'm saying? And it's sad that this guy have to die to teach everybody else, you know, teach everybody else what to do.
Well, I don't know, man. I agree with you on that, but I think, you know, the conversation is happening more now because those cops that got shot in Texas, and that breaks my heart because I really feel for those people who lost their lives in Texas, man. Those cops, man. You know, I don't agree with this. It's senseless, man. Like, regardless of what your color is, you should not be targeted for anything. You shouldn't be profiled for anything just because of your color. You should not be treated, regardless whether you white or you black. We should all love each other, and we should all treat each other the same. There should
and we
be.
We should.
Unity.
We should. It's just the way it is. You know what I mean? Like, and Jesus ain't. I mean, Abel shouldn't have slew Cain. Eve shouldn't have deceived Adam. But all these things happen, bro. All these things happen, but we must learn from them. It's a group of us that's going to learn from it. I mean, the road is broad to destruction, but it's narrow to the light. You know what I mean? And people have to choose. Everybody got to make everybody got to choose, man, because I tell a lot of people, don't get angry about what's happening. I know you're going to be angry, but the Bible speaks of be angry and sin not. So if this going to anger you, man, use that energy to do something positive, you know what I mean? I mean, marching, I don't know about the marching thing, man, because, you know, I don't know if it's doing anything. Martin Luther King had to shed blood when they marched. He had to shed blood for the thing. Because the thing ain't, you know, white and black ain't get along until he had to die for it, bro, and then it came along after he died. You know, he never got a chance to see the dream even happen.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So, the marching and stuff had happened, man. We have to take this as individuals and use this. We have to use what we're seeing and use it for gain for your own life, you know? Because it's always going to be like this. It ain't going to change. It ain't nothing we can do to stop this. Because you're always going to have your racist people, and you're always going to have your people that, you know, you're going to have your idiots out there. It's always going to be like that. You got devil worshippers out there, man. They're strictly for the devil. So what can we do to change that? We can't change it.
Yeah, and you're right. We can't change. We can't change the mindset. We can. Because there are mindsets that people. We can't change.
People can change their own mindset. We can't change it for them. As an artist, a Christian artist, and me as a Christian artist, and you as an inspirational, motivational guy. I mean, you're gonna change a little bit of people, man. I mean, and that's what you're here to do. But you ain't gonna change everybody. You ain't gonna change the world. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's my point. That's my point right there, man. Like, you know, we can't end racism. We just can't. You know, I would love to. I hate to be so pessimistic about it, but we just can't. As long as there's black and white, yellow and brown, as long as there's different colors, there's gonna be this. Why are you that? I mean, remember Miriam and Moses, and Miriam having an issue with Moses' wife because she was a different color. You know what I mean? Like,
that was
way before Darwinism. That was way before they was talking about Darwin and you know, melanin and all that stuff there, man. Like, this is way, way, way back then before any of this stuff here is introduced. And so there's always been this divide and this type of
way of seeing
somebody else that's different. And it's really what it is that we're different. I'm different. And the thing is, I'm
going to tell you something that's going to help you. Bro. I'm sorry, bro. But before I forget, they killed Jesus because he was different. I'm glad you made that point.
That's good. And that's it. People fear what's different. People can't understand. You know what I mean? They want to kill it. They want to prod it. They want to poke at it. They want to control it. You know? And that's really it right there. You want to control it.
Bro, if you meditate on that, man.
Understand?
You
I know,
it,
right?
Jesus died for being who he was, man.
Yeah.
Come on,
they couldn't control him because they couldn't control him.
This is a spiritual battle. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
It's all spiritual battle, bro.
And so I totally understand that, bro. And yes, we as leaders in our and you know, I know that there's more that I can be doing in my community. And, you know, it's been in my heart to step up a little bit more in my community and really have more of a voice. And I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna see where I fit in this community and what I can do to help it, but I don't want to be that person that's just for black people. Like, I don't want to be that person that only, you know, that's only like championing for black people. Like, I think that's wrong. We're all the same. We're all the same. But the problem is that there is an issue, and until we deal with this systematic issue, then trying to be a champion for everyone is almost like I'm ignoring the plight and the problem of this certain set because I want because I want to be there for everyone. And I don't think that that's right. I think we do have to begin to stop and deal with these certain issues that are happening in our society. And there has to be dialogue. There has to be more conversation. This isn't something that we can just sweep under the rug. And the problem that what really happens with this is that it happens every year. It happens all the time. This has been happening for years. The issue now is that we have body cameras and we have cell phone videos and people are being their own reporters, which we thank God for, but it's nothing new. Yeah. It's been happening. But the problem is that it's going to continue to happen. I mean, now that the police have body cameras, they just turned them off. The people in Louisiana, they turned them off. So now that we have cameras, it's still not stopping anything.
Yeah. It's not stopping. I think everybody got off that killed the young man, a young black male. They got off, if I'm correctly.
Man, we don't want to talk about people who got off because Tamir Rice.
Oh man, that's another subject. Yeah.
that right there, that broke my heart. Tamir Rice situation really broke my heart for it to be a little kid playing with a toy gun in a park. That's fearful. That is
starting your community, man. I think you got a voice, you got the power, you a leader, man. You just got to start in your community, man, and hopefully the world will follow. You know what I mean? As long as you know where we live, where our kids live, where our kids raised up, we start there, man. We ain't gonna. I mean, cause we can't get everywhere, but we can start at one place, And we can take care of our community, man. And I'm glad we got leaders like you, bro, that's ready to push this thing.
Nah, so. You know, I don't know, bro. I know it's time. So you say leaders like me, I'm like, I know it's time.
Hey,
I got to do something because I got to do more than just sit here in my room. And I'm not going to be that person that sits in my room.
Man, your music, bro. You don't know what your music do to everybody, man. When I've been up 12, 1 o'clock in the morning listening to your music.
Oh.
And man, and it does something to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, people go, you know, and music is an outlet for, you know, and music helps a lot, man. And just you speaking on that, man, that's enough. If you ain't did anything else, I think you did your part. But it's good that you want to do more, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you got to. We got to do something. We got to do something because I refuse to sit home and cry about situations that's happening in our nation, man, and have a voice and not use it. You know, it's like the person being able to read but never picks up a book. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you're wasting your opportunity to do something, man, to use what God has given you, man. So, I didn't want to have more conversations about this, but I think I am. You know, I think I am going to have more shows about just what's going on in our nation. And it's not to, and I want to really throw this out here. It's not to bash white people. It's not to bash cops. You know, I hope in nothing that I've said, I've said anything negative about a cop or anybody who's a different race. You know what I mean? But it is to say, hey, look, we have to be aware. We have to begin to open our eyes. And we can't just say that all lives matter, because yes, all lives do matter, but all lives matter is a response to the fact that black lives matter. It's a response
to
the hurt
like that.
And the pain. Yeah, I know, bro. It's a response to the hurt and the pain and the mothers who have lost their children for senseless things that the people who are supposed to be protecting them are killing them. And so they say black lives matter, and you say all lives matter. It's like throwing it back in their face. And
that's
saying,
right.
The child's death didn't matter.
Yeah. Seen that. We just had a march in Orlando, bro. I'm reading the comment on Facebook Live. And, man, a lot of white people were saying, they was talking crazy, man. They was calling us monkeys. They were saying a lot of us getting ready for work. So they had a march Sunday. And it was like a lot of us getting ready for work. Y'all out here doing this. I'm sick of this. All lives matter. I mean, they was just throwing salt, bro. And it was like, the racism is still going to be there, bro. They are not going to change, man. A lot of them want to see this, man. You know what I'm saying? It made me mad, bro. That's why I don't look at this stuff. Because I don't want to get back to my old ways. You did?
Yeah. Bro, trust me. I understand.
I know where you're coming from, man. I know where you're coming from, but I want to be politically correct.
Correct. Yes. And I appreciate you for doing that on my show tonight. I thank you. And you even came in a lot of times because I got a little, I grew up in a... I grew up in a lot, man. So you already know.
Exactly, man. Me and you off hell, we could talk, man. But I feel you. Trust me, I feel where you're coming from, bro. It make you 38, but that's why we gotta be angry sin now. We gotta stay to the stick
angry
to the
and sin
man.
Not. Yes,
that's
yes.
Right.
Be angry and sin
that's
not.
Right.
And that's what I would love to express on tonight is be angry. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with being angry. Like, you know, for me
that's
to be, if people say I'm an angry black man, then okay, well, then I'm an angry black man. Like, I really hate that title. I really do. I really, really do. Because it basically
angry
says
black
that,
man.
Yeah. Like, I'm mad at the world. I'm not mad at the world. I'm mad at this issue. I'm mad at this problem that we have in our nation. That's
right.
That's what I'm mad at. I'm angry about that. That's what I'm angry about. Like,
that's right.
I'm calling
you got
me
a right
angry
to be.
Black man because I have a passion about this situation, this one thing. I'm not angry about people who are poor and can't eat. I'm sorry. I'm not. And you can't make me be angry about that. I feel bad for them. I would give money to them. But I am angry about this injustice in our system where our jail cells are predominantly black or there are more black people, you know what I'm saying? And we only make up 8% of America. That angers me. Yes. I'm angry about that.
I know.
But I'm not an angry black man.
I
we have to love everybody, and we have to. I'm not saying See, I think people think that you have to choose sides. It's not about choosing a side. I'm not choosing the black side. I'm not choosing the injustice side. I'm not choosing the angry side. I'm on the side of the human race. But I do see a problem with this part of the human race, and I think we have to deal with it. I think we have to address it. I think we have to bring it up, and we have to deal with it. And so I'm going to end the show tonight with this song, you know what I'm saying, that kind of just it sparks it. And this is what we have to do. We have to start with the man in the mirror. We got to start with ourselves. If we want to make a change, mm-hmm. we got to make a change starting with us. And so, you know, I'm about a night, man, that, you know, I'm going to have more of a voice. You know, I'm going to speak more on this. I'm going to make myself more evident and more present on Facebook, on Instagram. I'm going to show up to these things happening in our community, you know what I mean? And I'm going to speak out. But I'm not going to speak out in hatred. I'm not going to speak out to incite people to be frustrated and be angry. But I am going to speak to incite people to open their eyes, be more aware, and let's change this nation. Let's change by, one, loving each other, two, allowing God to change our heart, and three, changing ourselves, which should be number one. All right, so guys, listen, man, this is Man in the Mirror by my homeboy Michael Jackson. Yeah.
Hey, man.
Before we do that, hey, thank you, man, for being on the show. Let me go ahead and pray out real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for the show. Thank you for my brother who came on and just gave us his point of view and his part. And I pray for him and his family. I pray for safety over his children. I pray for safety over him when he goes to work and he leaves. I thank you, God, that you are watching over him, God, and that he's able to come home to his children, come home to his wife, and that he's able to grow old with them, God. I come against any attack and attempt of the enemy on his marriage and on his life as well, God. I pray, Father, for every cop who's lost their life, God, by the senseless violence, God, in Texas. I pray for those cops who lost their lives in Michigan today, God. That's just senseless violence, Father, of someone who made a stupid decision. And I also pray for every person who's lost their life at the hand of a police officer, God, unjustly. I pray, Father, for just those who are dealing with loss, God, of a child, God, because of gang violence or just black on black or white on white or any type of color of crime, God. Crime is crime, and God, I pray that we can find a way to begin to eradicate this thing, even though we know we can't get rid of it all. We can make a change and we can make a dent in this world. So, God, I pray that you give us the words to speak. You give us the actions to take. Help us to have a platform to where we can begin to see an evident change in this world. God, we love you. And we know, God, that all things are possible through you. Now, without you, we can't do this. We are helpless. We are powerless. We will utterly fail. But with you, all things are possible. Giants will fall. Mountains will crumble in your name, God, and in your presence, God. Can we do mighty, mighty things? So, God, we need you, God, to move through us, God, to give us fresh revelation on how we can make change happen in our nation, Father, and not just sit back and watch things happen and complain, but to actually get up out of our seats, out of our little rooms and away from our computers and our cell phones and actually do something, say something, make something happen to see lives be changed and people be saved, God, not just saved, God, from salvation, God, but saved from the hands of injustice, God. So help us, God, to be more of a help to this nation, God. We thank you for this moment, this hour. We give you all the praise and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Hey, bro, thank you for being on the show tonight, man. I appreciate you.
No problem,
love
bro. I love
peace.
You too, bro.
I'm gonna make a change for one
yo.
Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. And as I turn up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I?